Greetings from the center of Canada, and welcome to the Fringe Faithful Collective. My name is Mike Powell, and this is supplemental episode number 2, entitled Recon, which was recorded live at Mitchell Community Fellowship on October 10th, 2021.
Just wanted to share a few stories and some things that have been on my mind this past week. As you know, it was the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation last week, and I had the privilege of being able to attend the powwow at St. John's Park in Winnipeg. I don't know if anyone else was there. But it was just a real great opportunity to be there in solidarity with our First Nations neighbors. And I was reminded of a time in grade 8 that I hadn't really thought about for many years, and I just wanted to share that with you this morning. I grew up in the church, and it was a United Church, and their process of kind of becoming part of the church was confirmation. So you would be baptized as an infant and then kind of grew up in Sunday school, and before being able to join kind of the main service after grade 8, you would go through this process of confirmation. So learning some of the main things that the church believed, and then deciding whether that's what you want to buy into yourself. And my parents gave me the option at that point whether I wanted to continue to go to church or not at grade 8. And I thought that was a real big thing for them to do, because I think oftentimes we want to encourage people to stay as long as possible, and giving someone the option, that kind of gives them an out. But I chose to keep going because it resonated with me what was going on. So my mom brought me to a store because she wanted to get me a gift for that occasion, just to mark it as something special. And my eyes were on two different things. One was a Canterbury cross necklace, and the other was an eagle head statue that had been created by an Indigenous artist. And I remember saying to my mom at that point something along the lines of, because I was really debating over the two, but specific to this eagle head statue, which was really beautiful, I was saying, like, this is the same creator that we believe in. And I didn't see it as an issue whether I, you know, picked that versus the cross. But I ended up choosing the cross, and it was a decision that became increasingly solidified over the years. So much so that just I obstinately held to a there can only be one path position for many, many years after that. And the teachers that I had, though well-intentioned, emphasized this outward expression of beliefs as very key to our religious life, like wearing a cross or wearing a Christian t-shirt or one of those WWJD bracelets. Symbols and signals of our inner values. Reminds me of a song by a band called Pedro the Lion, called Secret of the Easy Yoke. And in it, David Bazan said, "The devoted were wearing bracelets to remind them why they came. Some concrete motivation when the abstract could not do the same." Now, fortunately, this bracelet trend died and hasn't come back as far as I know. Unfortunately, though, it lives on in very different forms, and it always surfaces in each generation in some form, this attempt to split people, to distinguish tribes from one another, to define factions. It is, in other words, a litmus test. We know, you know, from science, testing whether something is an acid or a base, based on pH level, you dip this little thing in, you probably did it in school, and it turns either blue or red, right? But there are many litmus tests that we give to others to define whether someone in our, from our perspective, is either in or out. And it doesn't matter what background you are, we all do it. Every group has their own. Often it's an issue that we make central for either inclusion or exclusion. Sometimes for a good reason as well, because we want to know who we are. We need to somehow define who we are identity-wise and maybe who we're not. And we know that it is important sometimes to have boundaries. It's healthy. It's necessary for our personal well-being. But as has become painfully evident this past never-ending year, which is approaching too, are these divisions that are becoming increasingly visible between people. This is nothing new. This is the history of the world. We also see it on the pages of any sacred text. Seems that there's always this tension between us or them. And we're all participants in this. In the Bible, we see this most prominently between the Jew and the Gentile. But what I found interesting just thinking about things this past week is that verse from Ephesians chapter 2, where it was written, "Christ is our peace, who has made the two one and has torn down the dividing wall of hostility." And it goes on to say that Christ's purpose was to reconcile both of them and to put to death their hostility. So much divides and creates hostility in every age, including ours. But history and likely our own experience also shows what doesn't work. Number one, attacking or being offensive just serves to other people. It emphasizes the them between us and them. Being defensive also doesn't work because it just applauds us. We puff ourselves up and think, well, we're better than them, right? Third, ignoring or pretending that there isn't a problem doesn't work either. Just as a maybe more innocuous, but example, climate change as an example. Sometimes it's not enough just to agree to disagree about a major issue like this, right? Because it will continue to pose a threat. Action sometimes is needed for the collective good of everyone. And a better way needs to be mutually decided upon in order for everyone to thrive. As a pastor friend of mine stated recently, we are neighbors. And we have to figure out, how do we live together? It doesn't matter what the issue is. I don't even need to name anything specifically for you to think of something right now that you know has the potential and the actuality of dividing people, of creating hostility amongst us. The problem, I would contend, is the maintenance of false dichotomies of us or them. There was a quote from a show that I love, which I was reminded of as well, and in it they said, "Remember, it's not us or them, it's us and them." Something that I think is extremely relevant is what we have seen and been reminded of by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. In their official mandate, it was written, "There is an emerging and compelling desire to put the events of the past behind us so that we can work towards a stronger and healthier future. It's about mutual recognition and respect. The truth of our common experiences will set our spirits free and paved the way to reconciliation. And I think that this is not only relevant specific to that dynamic that we have as settlers and First Nations, but transcends that and goes beyond that to speak to anything that has the potential and actuality to divide us. As per usual, I have few answers to give you, especially when I find it so easy and satisfying to be hostile at times in holding fast to these categories of us or them. However, it seems to me that there is more life and hope in seeking out what unites, in finding something shared, in prioritizing our humanity. But this is a process, and it's one that demands intentionality and patience. And this is surely why the disciples of Jesus were called followers of the way. It's a working towards something. It's peace as a pursuit. It's an effort to follow in the example of Christ, if we have that background or that affinity, by similarly tearing down what divides and not doing the opposite. It's about reconciliation. And I'd like to just share these words in closing from Chief Dr. Robert Joseph. Reconciliation includes anyone with an open mind and an open heart who is willing to look into the future with a new way. Let us find a way to belong to this time and place together. Our future and the well-being of all our children rests with the kind of relationships that we build today.